There are athletes who define their sports. And there are sports which are defined by individual athletes. Such is the case with Tony Hawk of Carlsbad, California. Lanky elbows and knees to throw him into a half pipe in any number of contortions. And this man is an artist.
Years ago today, skateboarder Tony Hawk, along with countless other world-class athletes, was introduced to a mainstream American audience for the first time. The event was called the X Games, and it showcased sports that would become iconic, like skateboarding and BMX, and some that would not, like skysurfing and street luge. In the quarter century since, the X Games have evolved, and Hawk continues to inspire generations of kids on wheels. He joins the show today to reflect on the very first games and the ongoing evolution of a sport. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, June 24th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. First, I have an important question. Tony, I see you have 65 acting credits on IMDb. Which one are you the most proud of, and why is it Police Academy 4?
I would be most proud of Police Academy 4 if I had played an actual character, but I was only the stunt double for David Spade, and it is literally the only job I've ever been fired from.
Tony Hawk is widely considered one of the greatest skateboarders of all time. He is also apparently a lackluster stunt double for David Spade.
From the time that they hired me to the time that they shot, I went through a growth spurt. And by the time we got to Toronto, I was too tall to be David's stunt double.
He's probably really little, right? I would imagine.
I mean, he's not little, but I definitely went from sort of a runt teenager to over 6 foot very quickly.
So you're here today not to talk about your glorious acting career, but because it is the 25th anniversary of the very first X Games, which took place in Providence and Newport, Rhode Island, which is kind of amazing, by the way. At that point in your career, Tony, you were already extremely established. You've been competing for over a decade. Paint a picture for us of what the competition circuit was like before the X Games.
The competition circuit was thriving, but more in the late 80s. I would say from the years of 86 to 89, maybe even 1990, skating was much more popular than it had ever been in the past, and there were a lot of big competitions.
Tony Hawk, here he goes, come on, Tony Hawk, go for Alto. Back and shred, give him some support, Tony Hawk.
And I would say in the years leading up to the X Games, probably closer to 92 to 94, all those competitions were drying up. So there were hardly any competitions and relatively no vert events.
In the years before that X Games, 1993, 1994, you had decided to take some time off after being on top of the sport, walked away for a little bit. What were your expectations like for coming back?
I never walked away from skateboarding. I just stopped competing for the most part. It felt like you were, excuse the pun, just spinning your wheels going to the events because there was no future in that aspect of skating. So I focused my efforts on starting a skate company. And then when the X Games came around, I felt like I was still on top of my game. And when they said they're going to have a vert event, I was like, that's my jam. Let's do it.
Get ready to jump on board. The half pipe will be your arena. A place where success isn't judged by acceptance. Each movement a celebration of individual spirit, artistry, and control. It's an opportunity to redefine the way we look at sports.
And welcome to the first Extreme Games. Along with Susie Culver, I'm Chris Fowler. We are just...
What were expectations like in your world for the event?
It was very mixed. I think people were confused with why we were grouped together with such different sports. like rock climbing, like bungee jumping.
We are ready for the first of three jumps in the final event of this Extreme Games bungee jumping competition, the backward descent. This is Mark.
Those things never really connected to skateboarding in, as far as we were concerned, but there was enough support and there was a definite attitude among people like me where it was like, hey, we're finally going to be on TV. I thought I was sort of backing off from competition and the spotlight, so to speak, and it thrust me straight back in.
To put things in perspective, Tony Hawk is like the Michael Jordan of skateboarding.
And just like Jordan, Tony Hawk retired from the sport. He had nothing left to prove, he felt, after 12 straight overall pro titles. But life without competition didn't suit Hawk any better than it did Jordan.
I mean, the idea that ESPN was giving us airtime and a venue to show off what we do, that was it. You know, for me, that was the foundation of wanting to do that. And so I felt like, even though we didn't know what was going to happen with it, I felt like skateboarding was going to shine through all of the noise because people are going to see that we've been doing this for a long time. Skating is more refined and has evolved. And maybe some of these other sports aren't here to last.
Tony Hawk coming at it. Competition retirement less than 2 months ago, and he's ripping the Extreme Games to shreds.
What is your fondest memory of that first Games?
That my dad got to see it. My dad was always a big advocate for skating and skate events, and he passed away later that year. I never thought that I would see the day where he saw skateboarding on ESPN. I mean, for him, he was all about, you know, stick and ball sports too. And so for him to see skateboarding sort of come of age and be accepted on a level like that was huge to him. I mean, if nothing else, it was validation for him supporting me all those years.
Oh my goodness, a 720.
And there is your champion at the Extreme Games and your champion for all time in skateboarding, Tony Hawk.
4 years later, at the 1999 X Games in San Francisco, you were part of what's seen as perhaps the most memorable X Games moment of all time when you landed the first ever 900 in skateboarding, which is 2.5 full spins on a half pipe. What was the series of events that led you to even attempting it?
Well, firstly, I didn't plan on attempting it that night. I had tried it many hundreds of times over the course of 10 years off and on and gotten pretty close, gotten hurt a couple times and had tried it in previous best trick events as well. And basically just kind of gave up on it.
X Games 5 in San Francisco. Thousands of screaming fans have waited a long time. Other skaters have had their moments, but this has really become a personal quest for Tony Hawk to master the trick that he has beaten himself up doing for a decade, the 900.
It's debatable. Some people say that Dave Duncan, who was announcing at the time, was the one who sort of egged me on. Like, come on, let's see that 900.
Here we go. Tony Hawk's got something up his sleeve right here. I don't know what it is. He's on a roll right now, full of confidence. Let's see what he's got. Maybe the 900. I don't know. It's the 900.
I don't think I can do it because I've spent years chasing it. But why not do it for the crowd? I mean, that was kind of my attitude. Like, all right, I'll show the crowd what it looks like. After about my third or fourth attempt, something clicked because my spin was consistent, which had never happened before. Every other time that I had tried it. So I had no real consistent approach that I could think of how I would land it. Something about that ramp and my skating that day was making it consistent. And suddenly I found myself seeing the landing zone, which is rare. That's when I decided that I could just try to make it. Why not? I tried to make one. I fell forward.
Oh! Oh, baby! Stop your feet, everybody!
Which is exactly what I did a couple years prior and broke my rib. But I came up standing. I didn't get hurt. And I thought, wow, maybe if I can lean back a little bit as I spin. That will alleviate this forward falling thing. And then I did that, and I fell backwards.
900! Oh! No way. So close. The closest I've ever seen.
And that was when everything clicked, because I thought, okay, I've fallen forward, I've fallen backwards, split the difference, and I made the next one.
How did it feel in the moment?
It honestly felt like it didn't happen. It just, I couldn't believe that I was still on my skateboard riding away. I tried it for so long. I didn't understand that it really happened until I looked up and saw my peers and the crowd running towards me. That's when it became real.
If it weren't for you people, I would have never made that. Thank you. Thank you. This is the best day of my life. I swear to God.
Two months later, in September, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, the video game, was released. How did that change your life?
That changed my life in terms of opportunity and financial success to a degree that I never imagined, that I never dreamed of, that I never maybe even wanted. When I first started skating, you couldn't be rich or famous skating, and that was never the goal. And I had a little taste of those things through the years, you know, through different cycles of skating, which was fun. But that was, like I said, it was never the end all or the reason that I did it. And then after the game was released, suddenly I found myself doing late night talk shows and all kinds of opportunities, endorsements, travel, appearances. And it just changed the trajectory of everything I did.
All right, after the break, I want to ask you about how the X Games changed skateboarding and ultimately set the stage for it to become an Olympic sport. We're presented by Marathon. Now more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we're aware travel may not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop into the car to run an errand. Or maybe you just want to drive to see your best friend, simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal you can count on. It's also quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio and start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Tony, in 2003, at the age of 35, you competed in X Games 9 in Los Angeles, which would be your last professional competition. How do you remember feeling leading into that final X Games?
I was excited. I had been competing at that point for, 25 years. I started competing not long after I started skating. And so I was excited to explore new opportunities. I was not going to quit skating. If anything, I was going to sort of kick my skating into high gear, because when you're competing, you're a little more conservative in your approach. You're only doing tricks that you know for sure you're going to make and be consistent with. When you're released of that, you can kind of go crazy and really explore more difficult moves and things that aren't as consistent. And maybe the crowd will get behind you, you know, in an exhibition format, because they want to see you come through with this thing that you're trying. And so it was liberating.
That year, you again won best trick. What trick did you decide to do?
I was trying to do a variation of a 900 and grab Indy, which I think makes it harder because it slows down your spin when you have to reach with your back hand. So I tried that for almost the entire event, never really got any closer. And then finally, as the time was running out, I just threw a regular 900.
Yes, he's got it! Tony Hawk has made the 900 within time.
That's a wrap, people! Tony makes the 9 in time! He didn't even do that 99!
Over!
I landed it standing up, much cleaner than the one I had done in years prior. Actually, probably much cleaner than anyone I've done in years prior. Right before the buzzer. That clinched it.
History has been made at X Games 9.
And I think I was excited because I was ending on a high note.
How did that Games differ from your very first one?
The difference was that we were not, I think as skaters, we weren't being looked on as some sort of novelty or sideshow. We were front and center, staple center, literally. Suddenly, we were put into what we would consider a mainstream stick and ball venue, and we were the highlight. Like we you know, and so I think the difference was that the interest level was much greater, the understanding was much better, and the skating was phenomenal.
Tony, as you mentioned, by that time, you had been skating for decades. How far had the sport progressed from when you first started?
From when I started, it had progressed exponentially. The best thing that you could do when I started skating was to do an aerial above the lip of an empty swimming pool. That would get you a skateboard sponsor, you know, and that would get you the attention of, say, the Dogtown and Z-Boys. And as skating evolved, obviously, vertical skating changed dramatically in terms of the tricks and the design of the ramps, and street skating became a thing. When I was a kid, that was just transportation. The ollie wasn't even invented yet, so no one knew how to jump downstairs or hit handrails or benches. We were just getting from point A to point B. And then by the time 20 years later, street skating is a discipline and something that people can actually make a living at, and that is exciting.
Now that you've made a living off of doing this, you've been able to give back to the sport as well. What is the Tony Hawk Foundation and what does it do?
We help to fund public skate parks in low-income areas and underserved areas. We basically give cities and communities the resources to get a park built. And we have helped to fund over 900 skate parks across the U.S. and in some international cities.
Another thing you've done is fund research. Not long ago, you guys funded a USC study looking at the impact of skating. And something that caught my eye was the finding about how it encourages diversity. How much has that changed, Tony, over the last 20 years?
It's changed massively. Skating is the great equalizer. And I think it is for everyone. We have seen skating on the rise in all types of communities, all different backgrounds. Not only is it diverse in backgrounds and race, it's diverse in age, hugely. There are 11-year-olds competing with nearly 40-year-olds, and they're all on the same level. And they all have the same chances of winning. If you're looking for any kind of activity or sport that is truly inclusive, it's skateboarding.
Skateboarding will hopefully make its Olympics debut in Tokyo next summer. Tony, as someone who's seen the sport's tremendous growth, as we've discussed, from the X Games through now, what does that mean?
It means that the Olympics finally got a clue that skateboarding is valid and is popular. It also means that it's going to be introduced to a new audience, a much broader international audience. And I think that's the silver lining. That's what's most exciting to me, is that there will be countries that will now support skateboarding, even though they may never have acknowledged it before. I'm really proud of how far we've come, the ups and downs. there will still be the skaters that want to hop fences and skate handrails and, you know, outrun security. That is not lost or diluted. If nothing else, it will be maybe more welcomed and more supported. X Games and ESPN came to recognize skating as legitimate and valid and not a sideshow. And I think that that is what is probably the biggest change and the most important change. When you see the X Games now, these sports are presented with reverence and with respect. That's important.
Final question. What's your next acting role?
My next acting role is telling my own story for a documentary that's in the works.
That sounds a lot better than Police Academy. Thanks so much, Tony.
Okay, thank you.
Coming up, a new development in the Bubba Wallace story. Here's another story I want you to know. As we discussed here, on Sunday, a noose was discovered in the garage of Bubba Wallace, NASCAR's only black driver. The organization immediately contacted the FBI, and on Tuesday, the feds determined that the incident was not a hate crime after finding photographic evidence that the rope, which was used to pull the garage door, had been in the space since last year. The FBI concluded that no one who positioned it there then could have known Wallace would be assigned to that specific garage last week. This news comes after a stunning display of solidarity for Wallace on Monday at Talladega, when his fellow drivers showed their support for him by pushing his car before the race. And also after the son of former NASCAR driver Mike Skinner, former driver Dustin Skinner, wrote on Facebook that he wished someone would have tied the noose to Wallace and drug him around the pits because he had destroyed the sport. Skinner later walked back his comment, claiming it wasn't about race. NASCAR, for its part, thanked the FBI for their quick investigation, adding in a statement, "We remain steadfast in our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all who love racing." I'm Ina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.